This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. The 2012 Fayetteville Roots Festival begins tomorrow and runs through Sunday. This festival of roots music, local food, and Ozark culture will feature over 35 performers, including John Prine, David Grisman Folk Jazz Trio, Daryl Scott, and more. Tickets and more information available at FayettevilleRoots.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we talk to a University of Arkansas professor about her book that addresses how people and technology can work together.
And 1,000 people gather in support of keeping the 188th at Fort Chaffee. But first, state Republican officials are preparing for Governor Mitt Romney's visit to Arkansas today. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee is expected to be in Little Rock for fundraisers at the Peabody and Capitol Hotels. State Party Chairman Doyle Webb says Governor Romney understands that Arkansans want jobs and a better economy.
We're very pleased. He was here back in 2006, and he has chosen to come here on his way to the national convention. That says a lot for the importance of Arkansas and the needs of every Arkansan.
The Republican members of Arkansas's congressional delegation are expected to be in attendance. The dinner at the Capitol Hotel costs $50,000 per couple. Officials with the Romney-Ryan campaign say there will be no public events or press conferences during the visit.
The city of Fayetteville has been busy with sidewalk improvements in the downtown area. Crews with the city's transportation department have been busy along Mountain Street and College Avenue, replacing sidewalks with new concrete, brick liners, street trees, and new signal lights. But the city is asking for residents' input on the last stretch of sidewalk. Tonight, the city will host a public input meeting from 5 to 6:30 at City Hall to ask residents how they would like Center Street to look after the sidewalk improvements. Originally, the transportation department made plans for the new sidewalks on both sides of the street to be the same size as the ones being replaced. But city planner Jeremy Pate says since the initial planning stage, other alternatives have been proposed.
There are two alternatives that have also been developed. One, which basically creates these bump outs on either side of the street, and then another option that was actually discussed at the street committee was to widen just the south side of the sidewalks and provide for basically a roughly 16 to 18 foot wide sidewalk the entire width in front of those businesses on the south side. So what we're trying to do is to garner public comment about any and all of those and try to make a decision at our next street committee meeting.
Pate says a petition presented by Alderman Matthew Petty and signed by owners of businesses on Center Street brought the alternatives to the attention of city planners. The wider sidewalks would allow for more room for pedestrians, street furniture such as benches and bike racks, and sidewalk cafe-style restaurants. However, Pate says operators of sidewalk restaurants would have to apply for a permit to operate on public property.
North Arkansas College in Harrison received a sizable grant yesterday. The U.S. Department of Education awarded the college just over $317,000 to provide its students with support services to help them navigate some of the unforeseen challenges of obtaining a higher education degree. According to a Department of Education release, the money from the Student Support Services Program will help provide academic tutoring, assistance in course selection information about financial aid, and support for helping students transfer between 2- and 4-year colleges. The money could also go toward other programs, including mentoring, individualized counseling, and career guidance, as well as housing assistance during school breaks for students who are homeless or in foster care.
It's the third day of school at Fayetteville Public Schools, and the first few days have gone relatively smoothly, even with the opening of Phase 1 of the new Fayetteville High School. However, the district's public information officer, Alan Wilburn, says some students have had issues dealing with the high school's newly closed campus.
That's been an adjustment, particularly for the juniors and who were used to having open campus lunch last year. So, but the new commons area is gorgeous. It's huge. And so it was a transition for them, but we've seen there was a lot of smiling faces.
Overall, though, Wilburn says things have gone smoothly in the first few days in the new facilities.
It's been fun to see the new students and staff go into the new parts of the building, and you see lots of wide eyes and drop jaws in terms of the scope. As we like to tell people, we finally have a facility that's of the same caliber of the students and staff at the high school, so we're really expecting a great year.
As for Phase 2 of the high school, Wilburn says work is progressing along steadily.
It will take obviously much longer since we go through parts of the building, retrofit it, and then move students into it, and then go to another section, and gradually we'll incrementally work our way along Bulldog Boulevard, which is what Stone Street used to be called. And that project will culminate in 2015.
Wilburn says all schools in the district have given good reports and enrollment is up, though not to the degree that it is in Rogers or Bentonville schools.
The J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences may not be Hollywood, but a number of students and faculty in the college at the U of A have been nominated for this year's Mid-America Emmy Awards. Three students received a nomination in the College University Student Production Non-News program for their film Mountain Man. Also nominated in the same category was News on the Hill, a news magazine produced for University of Arkansas Television by students enrolled in advanced TV news production classes. Larry Foley instructs the advanced TV classes, and he's been nominated for an Emmy as well. In the Specialty Assignment Program or Special and Non-News Program feature categories for his half-hour documentary Growing Hope. Dale Carpenter, professor and chairman of the journalism department, also nominated for his 20-minute special, Love You Too, A Life in Dance. The nomination comes in the human interest program or special category. Outside of the journalism department, James Greeson, professor of composition and theory in the music department, was nominated for his documentary about a virtuoso of the player piano. The awards will be presented at the Mid-America Emmy Gala September 22nd in Kansas City.
For the 18th year, the Springdale Chamber of Commerce will start its 10-month Leadership Springdale class. The class consists of about 25 young leaders from the city and gives them a chance to learn more about how the community works and who the movers and shakers of the community are. Bill Rogers, the Chamber's Vice President for Communications, says the program, while successful, is not unique to the area.
Perry Webb, who is the Chamber President, when he took this position, it was one of the programs that he brought to the chamber. This is a very common program. The Fayetteville Chamber has a leadership program. In Benton County, both Rogers and Bentonville and Siloam have had leadership programs. They've chosen to combine their leadership programs into a Benton County leadership, so it's a countywide. But Fayetteville and Springdale Chambers both still have individual programs. And this type of indoctrination-type program into the community is something that's very, very common around the country.
The chamber announced inductees into the class yesterday. The class will meet one day out of the month, and different topics will be covered during each class meeting, introducing members to a particular area of importance in the community. Topics include education, which takes members on a tour of secondary and post-secondary schools in Springdale, city government, healthcare, and state government day, which is an overnight trip to the state capitol in Little Rock to meet various department heads and the governor. The class will wrap up in May.
6 games in a row. That's how many the Naturals have lost following last night's 8-4 defeat. That was to open a 4-game series at home against the Cardinals. The Naturals will have another chance to redeem themselves. They play at 7 tonight at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale.
Tonight, expect clear skies with lows in the lower to mid-60s throughout the KUAF listening area. Tomorrow, we'll have clear skies in the morning that will eventually become partly cloudy. We'll have highs in the lower 90s. And tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy conditions with a low in northwest Arkansas of 64 degrees and a low of 70 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. Last night, most of Arkansas's congressional delegation, Governor Mike Beebe, and dozens of other elected officials joined about 1,000 others at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith for a listening session regarding the future of the 188th Fighter Wing at nearby Fort Chaffee. It's a future that's in some doubt because of possible deep cuts in U.S. military spending. Last night's event, called Defending the Defenders, was also attended by Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia, the Republican chairman of the House Armed Services Readiness Subcommittee. He's held similar such events in other cities across the country that have a military presence. Congressman Forbes told the audience last night that he understood the 188th is a cost-efficient operation.
It's important to know about the value that you're getting with a great unit like that, the great job that they do, the facilities that are here. The low cost for doing the housing, the energy, for the training, because the facilities are so close. But the one thing you can't put on a piece of paper is the love that a community has, like this community has, to embrace a unit like that. And I can tell you, if we can somehow take a snapshot of this and somehow display it in Washington to the people who are making these decisions, I think the 188th will be safe for a long time to come. So thank you for your support, where it is.
That set the tone of last night's meeting that was streamed live on the web to members of the 188th stationed in Afghanistan. Last night's event was put in place primarily by Congressman Steve Womack's office, and he served as the master of ceremonies. After reading a list of mayors, state legislators, and city council members from the region who were in attendance, he emphasized the political will behind working to keep the 188th at Fort Chaffee.
Your elected officials stand together with you this evening, unified in the common cause of supporting the 188th Fighter Wing, because it is the right thing for Fort Smith, because it is the right thing for the state of Arkansas, and it is the right thing for the United States of America.
Speaker after speaker praised the 188th and noted the community's support. There were at least two dozen standing ovations. But Congressman Forbes tempered the enthusiasm with remarks about proposed budget cuts that he says could alter the presence of units like the 188th.
Already in the last 2 years, we've cut $800 billion out of national defense. You don't see that term very much. You see 487, you see other terms. It's $800 billion in the last 2 years. And in January, if we can't do something to change it, there will be $500 billion of cuts that are automatically coming our way. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter what piece of legislation we put in the House and Senate regarding the 188th. If you get those kind of massive defense cuts, they are going to put everything on the table and everything's going to be at risk.
Possible across-the-board cuts in federal spending, including the Pentagon, could kick in if the legislative process of sequestration via the Budget Control Act is activated on January 2nd of next year. It's estimated if Congress does not reach a budget agreement, sequestration could mean cuts of $500 billion to military spending over the next decade. Even if Congress does find agreement on a budget and the unilateral cuts are avoided, Pentagon spending is still facing cuts. Governor Mike Beebe addressed the need for reducing federal spending last night. He just told the Fort Smith crowd those cuts needed to be done with wisdom.
All of us know, and all of us have been talking about the fact that we can't continue running a national debt, and I'm not here to make a political speech about that, but I think the point has to be made. We all know that we got to get our economic house in order for our children and for our grandchildren. And so we have to recognize that. Because it's so easy to say, well, I think everybody ought to be cut, but don't cut mine. And to be fair to our delegation, and to be fair and true to ourselves and the American people, we have to acknowledge that. But when you acknowledge that, those cuts have to be fair. And if the National Guard in this country is taking a disproportionate share of those cuts, that's not fair, and it's not smart.
The governor said the best bang for the buck for taxpayers for national defense is the Guard and Reserve. Arkansas's congressional delegation uniformly told the audience they're on the side of keeping the 188th at Fort Chaffee. During the public comment session, speaker after speaker from the audience expressed to the officials on the stage their desire to keep the 188th alive in western Arkansas. A video presentation featured residents of Fort Smith and family members of those serving in the 188th praising the base and stressing the economic and emotional connections the base and the city have established with each other. If all of those in attendance last night were in agreement about what should be the future of the 188th, they couldn't be sure that's what will actually happen. Late in the evening, Congressman Forbes, a Republican from Virginia, criticized the approach he says has been taken to reduce spending by the Pentagon.
Because we reach up in the sky, and that's what happened, and pull arbitrary dollar figures out and say, go make this fit. Instead of doing it the other way around and saying, what does it take to defend and protect the United States of America? Now let's go do that. And the analogy that I always use is if you were getting an inspection done on your home and you had one of these inspectors go in, imagine the difference if you told him, go in there, here's $1,000, that's all I have of repairs, just find $1,000 of repairs. Versus telling him, go in there and tell me what I need to do to fix this house.
Few, if any, detailed answers about the complicated questions surrounding a balanced federal budget can be found in 2 hours, and that wasn't the purpose of last night's session. But Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor did give the audience a hint of the reasoning he says he and other members of the Arkansas delegation are using in Washington to keep the 188th as it is.
We're here talking about national preparedness, national readiness. And that's what the 188th is all about. And that's why they're in Afghanistan right now. because they're ready to go. Others weren't, but they're ready to go.
The concerns over the possible sequestration process extend beyond potential cuts in military spending. Yesterday, the Congressional Budget Office issued an opinion that if the measure goes into effect on January 2nd, the first half of 2013 could be mired in a recession. Congress has 133 days to find a solution, and at least until then, many of the people at the Fort Smith Convention Center will remain concerned about what the budget stalemate might mean for the 188th and Fort Smith.
This is Ozarks at Large. Technology is ever evolving, but are the people who work with that technology evolving with it? Are they being replaced by those technologies? Dr. Claritha Hughes has a varied background, one that began with a stint as a chemist. Dr. Hughes says she is still a diehard chemist using that technical knowledge to train people in the workplace. After 20-plus years in the business world, she is now an associate professor of human resource and workforce development in the College of Education at the University of Arkansas. During her time in high-tech environments, she noticed this rift between people and technology, which led her to conduct research on the issue. She has since written the book Valuing People and Technology in the Workplace. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas recently spoke with Claritha Hughes, who began the conversation by giving an experience of this conflict in the workplace.
I watched as we invested millions of dollars in new equipment, but we were investing very little in the development of employees. We had training programs. However, there was a disconnect because they may have been trained on one piece of equipment. And granted, all the equipment looked the same, and they were the same makeup, but they ran different types of product. And so if you were trained running one product, yes, you could operate the machinery, but you couldn't really analyze the quality of the product because the product was different than what you had been trained to see. And so it was always, this is a people problem. I said, I'm going to do a study to see if I can find out if the problem truly is people. Most of the problems were more process, communication, and those type of problems as opposed to people problems.
So maybe the supervisors are thinking, okay, these people aren't intelligent enough or smart enough to be able to tell if this product is high quality, but really they just weren't trained.
Right. Okay. And that was part of it, the fact that if I'm trained to look at nylon fabric, and that's all I look at during my training, and then you put me on a piece of equipment that's running wool, both those are two totally distinct different types of, and so that training is essential, and having the amount of time to provide that training is critical.
That was going to be my question. Yes. Well, where does the time come from?
What we did a lot was we integrated the training into the process itself. For example, if you've got a high-tech job, you most likely have a computer on that job. So you can incorporate the training materials into the computer software so that if the operator at that moment has a problem with that piece of equipment, they can easily troubleshoot it. And that's where we found most of the problems was at the troubleshooting phase. And that's where you have companies going to robotics, per se, because the robots have the skill and they perform it as long as the equipment is working. And that's where my model came in, because I said, you know, you have a maintenance system for the robots. What maintenance system do you have for the employee?
So you've developed a model for workplaces to implement?
Yes, and my model initially, it's a people as technology model, and it's not as treating people the way you treat technology, it's a simile. How can you treat people in a way similar to the way you treat technology in the workplace? And I came up with five commonalities between the two.
Between people and technology?
Between people and technology. You have location value, use value, maintenance value, modification value, and time value.
Is it just in a manufacturing or a distribution place, or is it someplace, you know, like right here? I mean, is it also in an office setting?
Yes, it's in an office setting, and that's why I have three perspectives that I offer in the model, and they're cognitive, behavioral, and cultural perspectives. And this is not the culture of the organization. It's a higher level perspective. For example, most organizations are either one of the three perspectives, cognitive, cultural, or behavioral, or a combination thereof.
Thinking about my organization, you know, at the radio station, mm-hmm. and the equipment that I'm using, I do not use this computer program or this box of equipment to the utmost of its capabilities. You know, I mean, do you address that people aren't using the technology for lack of training?
Right, yes, and that's a big part of it. We invest millions of dollars in technology, but what aspect of the technology is most beneficial? I think technology has an advantage over people. And another example is with cell phones. The cell phones don't work all the time, but we still pay for it. For
sure. Well, I dropped like 3 phone calls this morning.
Exactly. Yeah. But you've already paid for the technology. They've already received the benefit. But we don't give people the benefit of the doubt when they break down. And that's why this model is so critical to really flesh out the different parts, those 5 values. What is the location value of Christina being here for us? What value does she bring? From a use perspective, how often do people listen to her radio show? From a maintenance value, do we need to train her to really operate that every aspect of it if we're getting the benefits from her listeners as opposed to her technology skills? And so they weigh those options. And in modification, can you go and train yourself on that equipment and bring it back to the and then bring it back to the organization, and we're happy to have it. You may not get a pay increase. That's job enrichment.
Right.
And will you stay once you get that skill? Now that you have a higher level skill from a time perspective, can I just go to another radio station?
I'm moving to Austin.
No. And that's an example, a good example of how it works in every organization.
Right.
If you look at the total person against the technology.
Mm-hmm. When you first came in, we were kind of talking about the timeliness of your book coming out. I mean, because there was this article just this past Sunday in the New York Times about robots replacing people.
Robots can only do what the person who programmed it tells it to do, in essence. So you still need people. I don't know that the world will exist. It will exist, but I don't know how much performance you would have if you had a world of just robots. For example, the Odyssey that's on Mars, it's a robot on an empty planet so far, but you've got people on Earth who celebrated it, putting it there. They're watching it every day. They're helping it operate every day. So there's a role for people no matter how sophisticated the robot. And so if we build and work on the human mind and the full person, I think there's always a role for people and technology to coexist.
So is this a book for students? Is this a book for managers?
It's a book. This particular book is a reference book, and it's in libraries. They primarily sell to libraries around the world. Students can use it. Managers can use it. Trainers can use it.
So it's a book that my station manager could read and I could benefit from if I chose to read it too. But also, let's say, what's down the street? The Highland plant, you know, on 15th Street over there.
Yes.
You know, so somebody could read, a manager there could read it and then use that knowledge to help their employees bottle milk more efficiently.
Absolutely. If you read Steve Jobs' book, the book that was written on about Steve Jobs recently, and he talked about he made a comment about Henry Ford when he said, Henry Ford said, if I had asked people what would they want, they would have said faster horses as opposed to a car.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to go outside the box and think about things in a different way, and that's really the purpose of this book, is just to think about what you do every day in a different way.
And sort of, again, I'm going to draw comparison to what I do every day, but, you know, I'm on air every day. You know, I've been doing it the exact same way since I was trained on it, but maybe there's a way that I could use this computer program to produce a better on-air break.
Exactly. And that's what this book is asking you to do. Think of different ways to enhance performance through your people and through your technology.
But that takes time, right?
Right. And that's where time is equal to money.
Right.
And that's why the time value is the most important value, because time is all we've got. And when people say, well, oh, that takes too much time, then is that time up front more valuable to you than the time it takes for you to fix all the problems that occur inside your organization and to replace those people? You're still using up time. Do you want to invest it before you hire the person? Or do you want to invest it after you hire them and have to rehire and rehire and rehire?
Right, that sounds like a waste of time.
Exactly. So there's no perfect answer. You can find out information. You can contact me at the university, or the book is online. It's all over the place on Amazon, and the University of Arkansas Library should have a copy of it. And so the information is out there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, thank you, Claritha.
You're welcome.
Dr. Claritha Hughes is the author of Valuing People and Technology in the Workplace, and she spoke with Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas earlier this week.
It is Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It's time for our almost daily visit with Becca Martin Brown, Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And time for me to send you to do something that you might never thought you'd want to do.
Okay.
You should go see KISS.
The band?
The band.
Not a cover band, the band?
No, the band. Okay. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley are playing, and they will perform twice in the Mid-South over the next 10 days. Oh. On the 26th, they will be at the BOK Center in Tulsa, and on the 27th, they will be at the Verizon Amphitheater near St. Louis. Ticket prices vary. Also on the road, Fish is at Starlight Theater in Kansas City on the 22nd.
Tickets left for that?
Yeah.
Because they legendarily sell out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Starlight's huge.
Oh, okay.
So I assume there would be. Pretty Lights is at the Midland in Kansas City on the 23rd. Journey is at the, is it JEXA Energy Pavilion in Dallas?
I don't know.
I have no idea how to say that. It's GEXA on the 25th. Fish is also at the Heifetz Arena in St. Louis on the 28th. And Boston is at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in St. Louis on the 31st. So go rock something.
Excellent. Road trips. Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Healthcare's jumped back to political issue number one. Republicans warning the president will drive Medicare into the ground. Democrats insisting a Romney-Ryan win in November means the end of Medicare as we know it. I'm John Donvan, navigating the Medicare maze. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
For decades, Little Orphan Annie has been telling audiences, you're never fully dressed without a smile. If you're searching for that final accessory, you're in luck, because the new theater season will give you plenty of reasons to smile. Today, as we continue our series looking at some of the upcoming theater performances in the region, we shine a light on comedies. The Arts Center of the Ozarks will bring the laughs first with performances of The Queen of Bingo, which opens September 7th. Director of theater Harry Blundell says this show will involve plenty of laughter and even a bit of audience participation.
We've just started rehearsals for that, and that is perfectly just a lot of fluff. There's no real big, deep story to this. It's about two Catholic sisters, not nuns, but two Catholic sisters who have gone to play bingo at St. Joe's. And in through the process of the show, we learn a little bit about their relationship, and we learn a lot about how to play bingo, which I don't do. So this is kind of a new learning experience for me, but it's a great show, and it's an audience participation show, in that just before intermission, the audience, if they choose, will get to play a game of bingo, and the winner of the bingo, whoever gets the first bingo, gets a frozen turkey, which has been graciously donated to us by Cargill. So that was a really awesome thing.
The ACO will continue the party theme with performances of A.R. Gurney's The Perfect Party in October. The following month, University Theater will head across the pond in search of laughs. Andrew Gibbs, chairman of the University of Arkansas Drama Department, says this season's first comedy will be Blithe Spirit, a comedy by English playwright Noel Coward that was first produced in 1941.
It's a situation comedy about a gentleman who has lost his wife, his first wife, and he's having a party, friends over, and his second wife is present. And they, through the process of a seance, discover the former wife and what influence she might be playing on the current situation. And it's very funny. It's British comedy on the intellectual side of things as opposed to the slapstick farce side of things. But there's some wonderful special effects that the former character can impose herself in the space on the people and have some well, they're all hilariously funny situations of how to deal with the spirit in the room as well as the live folks. The other benefit to that show is it is going to be done in period style and period dialect. Mavourneen Dwyer, who's on our faculty and is a specialist in both those things, stage speech and period movement, will be directing it, and it will then be an opportunity for students to practice some of those techniques.
The Village Players are celebrating their 20th anniversary this year, and in November, they have scheduled a weekend of performances of The Philadelphia Story. In this adaptation of the 1939 comic play by Philip Barry, the audience meets the Lord family of Philadelphia, who is preparing for a wedding. A mix-up of who's at the house is just the beginning as reporters try to get the story. The bride tries to find her way to a normal life, and the audience eventually discovers with whom she'll walk down the aisle. If you enjoy the comedy that comes from chaos, you may also enjoy the ACO's performance of the best Christmas pageant ever in December, an event that has become a long-standing tradition at the Arts Center. 2 months later, the Alma Performing Arts Center joins in the fun with Biloxi Blues, a semi-autobiographical play by Neil Simon. The story involves a 20-year-old man from Brooklyn who is drafted into the Army during World War II and is sent to Biloxi, Mississippi for basic training. This nationally touring show will be performed by the Montana Repertory Theater and is part of Simon's Eugene Trilogy, so named for the play's protagonist. A month later, in late March, Rogers Little Theater Productions Chairman Ed McClure says audiences can say hello to Goodbye Charlie.
We have a traditional show that's a kind of an old show, kind of an old, like, you know, one of those movies you might see on WTBS that just kind of puts you in a good mood, called Goodbye Charlie, about a kind of a womanizing movie type producer back in the 40s, and he dies, but he comes back as a beautiful woman, and he finds out what life was like for all those women that he womanized. And that's going to be March 29th through April the 7th.
In recent months, the Arts Center of the Ozarks has been working on a revitalization project. The renovations and updates to the center is one of the reasons Director of Theater Harry Blundell has chosen to end the ACO season in April with another party-themed play.
Our final play is the second Gurney play that we're going to do, and it's called Later Life. And it's basically, it happens on a New York terrace garden up above the streets, and it's a party as well. We kind of tended to do the party theme this year because we knew at some point we don't get to have a grand opening like, here's everything that's happened all of a sudden at the Arts Center. Oh, isn't this wonderful? We're going to be kind of grand opening all year long. So the party theme was something that I really looked at when I was choosing the season to think of things that we could do. And it's a great show. A little older guy, kind of at loss in his life, don't know what's going on, meets the woman of his dreams again after so many years. And she's had a life and he's had a life, and now they're looking like they might have a life together. So it's a lot of fun, and there's some really great, great parts in that show too.
The Alma Performing Arts Center will also have its final theatrical performance in April with Moon Over Buffalo. This play centers on two fading stars of the 1950s. On the brink of a disastrous split-up, they receive word that they might have one last shot at stardom. For more information about these or other comedies coming to the area this season, visit ozarksatlarge.com.
The band King Tuff is currently touring the country, and tomorrow night, the group will make a stop in Fayetteville. The garage rock band was recently mentioned in Spin Magazine's Best Albums of the Year so far. Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson recently caught up with the band's frontman via phone and has this report.
The fuzzed out garage rock sounds of King Tuff make an appearance in Fayetteville as they play JR's Lightbulb Club Thursday night. Band leader Kyle Thomas explains that their sophomore release, self-titled King Tuff and out on Sub Pop earlier this year, was recorded in an abandoned high school in Detroit.
It's just so a friend of the producer's had a had a studio there. He had just moved in there, and he was the only person renting out a room in there. Some crazy guy had bought the school and was just trying to get people to rent it as, like, practice spaces and whatnot. But this guy was the only guy in there at the time. So it was definitely eerie in that way to be, like, I don't know, you ever been in, like, a school at night when there's no one there and it's, like, all the lights are off and just the exit lights are on and stuff? It's weird. It's a weird feeling, you know? And his studio was set up in, I think it used to be, like, the library or something. But it was cool, just, like, you know, in between takes and, like, and stuff, like, hanging out in the hallway, and Bobby would be smoking cigarettes in the hallway, leaning up against the lockers. It was kind of like being in high school. It kind of, like, made me feel better about it, about high school. I felt like I was getting revenge.
While the album was recorded in very much an urban environment, and Thomas now claims Los Angeles as his home base, he grew up in Vermont, and that's where the songs were written.
I need to go into, like, a very specific headspace to really get the good stuff, you know? I need to, like, put all my focus into it and not be distracted. So I was just, like, in there recording all night long by myself, and I'd just sleep on the couch in there and wake up, get some coffee, and just kind of stew during the day, like, kind of just, like, think about what I was going to do that night. Because I could really only record at night because I shared the studio with, like, lawyers. So I'd sit on the roof a lot and write songs and play the guitar. And just, like, yeah, once I write a good one, I kind of, like, a bunch more usually come out once I get on a roll.
Producer of the album Bobby Harlow writes on the Sub Pop site, "An artist should never be careful, nor should the audience covet. Take the shot. Embrace the imperfection. Create more music carelessly." Well, Kyle Thomas is all about embracing that imperfection. That's one of his main philosophies, and he explains.
Those are my favorite parts of any, like, old recordings. Like, somebody hits a wrong note, or, like, you just hear, like, a leftover fragment that got recorded over, but not quite all the way. You hear, like, a little... I mean, it's stuff like that's all over Beatles recordings. And it's, like, it's really fun to, like, listen on headphones and listen for that stuff. You can hear, like, people talking in the background. That's the things that make a recording, you know, it gives it a human element. Whereas if you're recording on Pro Tools and you have just, like, infinite... you know, editing capabilities, most people just clean all that stuff out, you know, cut it all out. But it takes away that element of, like, of rawness, or, like, just the imperfections are always beautiful. And the same goes for, like, people, like, the way people look, or, like, I'm most attracted to people that have, like, something strange. Some strange beauty.
That philosophy of embracing imperfection also holds true when he's looking for band members.
Well, the band is still changing. It's still evolving. Still trying to get a solid group together. But, you know, I look, when I'm looking for musicians to play with, I look for people with, you know, first of all, they got to look great. And usually, you know, the stranger they look, the better. They don't have to look strange on purpose, but, like, you know, I just like characters, you know. I like to have characters in my band, as cartoonish as possible. You know, like, you could draw a picture of them really easily and be like, oh, that's a picture of Magic Jake, because he looks like a cartoon of, like, a 70s porn star. And then, you know, of course, like, more than anything, I gotta like their playing style. They gotta have a cool style, because I could make people just play exactly what I want them to, but I like having people add their own style to it, because it's different every time when you play with different people.
This marks the second tour for King Tough in support of their sophomore release, and Kyle Thomas says that the hardest thing about touring is sitting on that tour van.
It's just endless driving, you know? And it's tiring to just sit there all day for some reason. Sitting, doing nothing is like the most tiring thing. But, yeah, I just kind of go into like a meditative mode when I'm in the van, and then you get to the club, and usually it's just like a black box that has a sticky floor and, you know, a lot of PBR. I mean, the cool thing is the people that you meet, you know, and I could get a hotel room every night, but I'm kind of more into, you know, trying to find somewhere to stay with, like, kids in the town or, like, you know, friends, staying with people's friends or whatever. It just makes it more exciting than just going to a hotel room and not meeting anyone. I mean, that's the cool part about traveling is meeting people and seeing the places. So the best way to do that is usually to find somebody that lives in the town and have them take you to, like, the best spot.
Kyle Thomas and his band King Tough played JR's Lightbulb Club Thursday night, and if you'd like some more information on that, you can search Facebook under Clunk Presents King Tough. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
In addition to King Tough, the lineup for tomorrow night's concert includes The Audacity and the Fayetteville-based band Teenagers. The show is for those 21 and up, and admission is $8. And to find out what Kyle Thomas's favorite food is, one item he can't live without, and the last song he's been obsessed with, check out the audio extra at ozarksatlarge.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Wayne Bell. He is the author of the column Culture Club, found at FayettevilleFlyer.com. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. The people at home may not know this, but you're wearing your back-to-school outfit today.
It's the first week of school. So we'll put on new clothes. That's a time-honored tradition. Also a time-honored tradition is when school starts, you start to think about new seasons. And we've already done that.
Right.
So we thought this week and next we'd kind of concentrate on the things that we haven't done in entertainment that we'd like to do.
Like our entertainment or special event bucket list.
Right. Things that, and we're going to talk about those more next week, but we're also interested in what people, our listeners, have always wanted to do, read, see, hear, participate in, but haven't done so.
Yeah, and I don't think it necessarily has to. I mean, it can have, of course, if it's entertainment, that's great. If there's a concert you want to go to or somebody you've always wanted to see and you just haven't been able to manage it. But it could also be a sporting event you've always wanted to see and you never got to see, or a live act or a play or meets a famous person that you've never got to meet. Or so, I mean, the category could be pretty wide.
But we want to keep it within the realm of the possible. So if you never saw Louis Armstrong,
right?
That unfortunately time has passed for you.
Yeah, I always wanted to, especially, you know, back in his heyday, I always wanted to see like Michael Jackson because I know he put on quite a stage show. And, you know, that's, I mean, minus the holograms that they used this year at Coachella, that's probably not going to happen. So.
And I always wonder what it must have been like to be in a movie theater for the opening of, you know, a movie that has since become regarded as iconic. What did people react, the first audience ever to see Jaws or Gone with the Wind
Star
or something
Wars,
like that?
Right. Godfather. Yeah.
What would that have been like? But that has passed.
Yeah. And now so, it's, you know, where were you the day Battleship opened?
No one knows. The only people who know are the ones who were there, and they regretted it. It's 2 hours of
the
life.
People who were in the movie.
Right. They can't get
back.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of those activities, and of course we'll talk about it next week, but there's not a whole lot of those activities that you can, you know, that are substantial enough to be on your bucket list, like something that you're going to hold on to and you really want to do forever. But I would venture to say everybody's kind of got one. It may be something they're keeping secret, you know, like they want to go to Super Soap Weekend and at Disney World and meet their soap stars,
right.
Or But people have something, Comic-Con.
Right, which is every year in San Diego and has become a leading industry event now because comic books and fantasy have become so important for Hollywood.
Right. It's like the anti-con film festival, you know, with all the glitz and glamour. This is like the Nerd Boys Con film festival.
You know, what we would also encourage, maybe there's something you've never seen, a particular piece or you've never read that you wanted to get around to. But we live in different times now. For years, I wanted to see, and I thought this would never happen, there was the first film version of the movie Frankenstein was made by Thomas Edison in 1910.
Okay.
Thought lost forever. Was found a few years ago, but usually those things are, you know, you've got to be in New York the week that it's premiered at the Museum of Radio and TV or something like
right.
that. You know? And then someone told me, no, it's for free on your iPhone. So there I was in the middle of a department store. Really? And it's only a 10-minute, and it's silent. Mm-hmm. But so there are I think there are far fewer things like that now that you can't see in some way if you really want to.
Right. And even some of the live events, you could go, I've always wanted to see such and such in concert, and then you can go on YouTube now
right.
and see it. It's not like being in the building, but it, you know, we do have more opportunities now to catch up. But I remember a few years ago when Oprah had her show, and she had her book club, and she put the book of the month or whatever as Anna Karenina.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people were like, or I think she had a couple there in a row that were classics, and they were long classics. And it got people to read some stuff that they always maybe wanted to read, but they just never got around to doing
right.
it.
It's so like, think about that.
Yeah.
We'll have it on our Ozarks at Large Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the Ozarks at Large Twitter. That's Ozarks at Large.
And there's no judgment.
No,
we will
absolutely not.
We may make a little bit of fun of you, but we won't too much.
But it might be interesting to see if a theme emerges. But anything on your entertainment list that you haven't done, haven't seen, haven't experienced.
Are you going to be on there tonight, like writing, go to a taping of The View, or?
I have several that I've thought of.
Okay.
And we'll talk about this next week, the ones, and like you said, it could be something like Running of the Bulls
mm-hmm.
in Spain, which I have no desire to be part of, by
right.
the way. But that might be something.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll talk about what we found out next week.
Sure.
And if you have an item, such as an experience, on your entertainment wish list, you can let us know at the Ozarks at Large Facebook page.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 22nd of August, 2012. It's the birthday of Ray Bradbury, born Waukegan, Illinois, who on his 80th birthday said, "The great fun in my life has been getting up every morning and rushing to the typewriter because some new idea has hit me. The feeling I have every day is very much the same as it was when I was 12. It's the birthday of Dorothy Parker, born Dorothy Rothschild, Long Branch, New Jersey, 1893. Her mother died when she was young. Her father married a devout Catholic woman who Dorothy Parker despised. She dropped out of high school when she was 14. After the stepmother died and then her father died, Dorothy Parker wasn't sure what to do. She played piano at a dance academy. She tried writing light verse, sold a poem to Vanity Fair. Editor liked her. She became the drama critic there, wrote poems and stories. Robert Benchley, Robert Sherwood, two of her colleagues, the three of them started the Algonquin Roundtable. She wrote book reviews for The New Yorker. In 1934, she married her second husband, Alan Campbell. They moved to Hollywood and became screenwriters, successful ones. The two of them nominated for the Academy Award for the film A Star is Born. She became active in politics, labor unions, Spanish Civil War. She was put on the Hollywood blacklist in 1949 and stopped writing much at all. And toward the end of her life, she said of the Algonquin Roundtable members, "There were no giants, just a lot of people telling jokes and telling each other how good they were, just a bunch of loudmouths showing off. There was no truth in anything they said. It was the terrible day of the wisecrack, so there didn't have to be any truth." It's the birthday of the novelist Annie Proulx, born Norwich, Connecticut, 1935, who said, "Spend some time living before you start writing. She was in her 50s when she started writing fiction, a collection of short stories at first entitled Heart Songs, and 5 years later, her second novel, The Shipping News, was a bestseller in 1993. Her books include Accordion Crimes, Close Range, Wyoming Stories, and most recently, Bird Cloud, a memoir. Annie Prue, who said, "What I find to be very bad advice is the snappy little sentence, write what you know. It is the most tiresome and stupid advice that could possibly be given. If we write simply about what we know, we never grow." Here's a poem for today by Jim Harrison, Night Creatures. The horses run around, their feet are on the ground. In my headlights, there are nine running down the highway, clack-clacking in the night, swerving and drifting, some floating down the ditch, two grays, the rest colorless in the dark. What can I do for them? Nothing. Night is swallowing all of us. The fences on each side have us trapped, the fences tight to the ditches. Suddenly they turn. I stop. They come back toward me, my window open to the glorious smell of horses. I'm asking the gods to see them home. A poem by Jim Harrison, Night Creatures, from Songs of Unreason, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for KUAF comes from the 16th annual Hot Springs Blues Festival, taking place Labor Day weekend, August 31st and September 1st. This event will feature performances at various locations in Hot Springs and includes parties, workshops, and a variety of blues artists performing, including the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Tickets and more information are available at spacityblues.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Wallula.
Oh, yeah. Remind me again where that is.
Wallula is about 50 miles north of I-40. You take exit 37.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 70 miles as the crow flies north of downtown Ozark in Franklin County.
Excellent.
Wallula.
Wallula.
To get there, I think you go on Wallula Road.
Sounds right.
Okay.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Itzma Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Christina Thomas and I will be here tomorrow at noon for a brand new edition of the show. One more item. I know you saw the Naturals play last night.
I did. I had a lot of fun at the game. It was a smaller crowd, I think, because Tuesday nights kids are back in school and stuff.
Right.
You know, you don't want them out late. Because, I mean, I think the game went till 10:30, 10:40, somewhere in there.
So school night, that's going to be tough.
Sure.
Did you get a foul ball?
You know, there were a lot of them. We did not get any. Kevin Kinder was quite dismayed about this.
Kevin, who is a music writer for Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
He,
and a big baseball fan.
Yes, yes. And he did, some consolation, he did get a shirt, but I ended up with it because usually you expect like an extra large. It was a child medium. So I volunteered volunteered to take that off of his hands.
Well,
so, yeah, it was a good game.
Nats play again tonight at Arvest against the Cardinals. Also tonight, the University of Arkansas Razorback soccer team will try to go 3-0 on the season. They have Missouri State on the University of Arkansas campus. That starts at 7. This weekend, Arkansas won their first two. They beat Texas 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
The only goal that Arkansas has given up so far in this early season on a penalty kick.
Oh, okay.
Off to a good start.
That is a good start. Well, congratulations, ladies, and keep up the good work. Thank you guys again for listening.
And we'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow.
Have a good Wednesday.